You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 438.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes. Hello, Cornflake.
Hello, Kevin.
Ooh, hey, new version of the theme song.
What's that about? So neat. Oh, I loved it.
We haven't had a new version of the theme song in several years.
And somebody trotted out a uke for this one.
That is a new ukulele and vocals version of the Flopcast theme. Isn't that exciting?
So cool.
That is compliments of a recent guest of the Flopcast. That's Christine from one of our recent DragonCon shows.
Christine did that. Awesome.
Yeah, broke out the ukulele and singing the Lukeski vocal version of the Flopcast theme.
Very nice.
Yeah, yikes. Thanks. We love it.
So good.
Cornflake, how are you?
I am doing pretty well, although I drank most of my coffee before the show today.
Yeah, me too.
It's a good thing I've got this bottle of rosé here. I've got lobster rosé.
You have a lobster-flavored, lobster-themed bottle of wine.
I'm kind of hoping the wine is not lobster-themed, but it does have a really cool picture of a lobster with a rose.
Somebody probably found an empty bottle. They just dunked it into the Atlantic Ocean and corked it for you to enjoy. I'm so glad I'm very far away from your disgusting new bottle of lobster wine.
More for me.
Meanwhile, we flop. Sort of a hostess-themed episode today, I think. We're talking hostess for a couple of silly reasons.
Yummy.
But first order of business today, Cornflake, for the Flopcast, of course. Let's have some National Whatever Day.
Well, I suppose hostess fruit pies are a form of frugal fun because, Kevin, on October 3rd, we're talking about Frugal Fun Day, International Frugal Fun Day.
So this is just about being cheap?
Being cheap and having fun.
Impossible, I say.
A couple of my favorite things. Well, we know that it's entirely possible to have fun on the cheap. I'm always coming up with frugal fun games.
There was what comes to mind immediately is an old episode of Reading Rainbow. There's a Reading Rainbow episode where LeVar Burton, you know, dude with the visor from Next Generation.
Geordi.
LeVar is rapping about how to make toys and games out of garbage, essentially. The only one that I remember specifically is LeVar is rapping about what he calls yogurt lid ring toss.
Now that sounds like my idea of a good time.
Wants you to fish a yogurt lid out of the garbage, cut a hole in it so you got yourself a ring, and there you go. Ring toss.
Awesome.
I don't know what you're supposed to toss it on. Maybe like a Slim Jim or something.
Perfect.
So LeVar, he knows how to have fun, frugally and disgustingly. You know what else is as stupid as a Frugal Fun Day?
Tell me.
These new videos that we've been posting from the DragonCon American Sci-Fi Classics track.
What is going on?
Well, as we discussed during our DragonCon shows, American Sci-Fi Classics track, who I work with down at DragonCon every year, they've been doing online convention-style panels every week, and I've been honored to be a part of a few of them already. But one thing that they've done, just to be extra goofy, a couple of times after we finished recording a panel, we've stayed on the line and we've also recorded what they call Hostess Fruit Pie Theater.
I can only imagine what that is.
By which we mean we take the old Hostess comic book ads and just do a dramatic reading of a Hostess comic book ad. Like, everybody takes a part. We assign roles. You know, you're going to play Batman, you're going to play the Penguin or whatever, and then off we go, reenacting a comic book ad for Hostess. Because Hostess fruit pies and Twinkies and cupcakes, back in the day, Hostess used to take out these amazing full-page ads in all the comic books. And it would look like a page of comic book art.
Right.
Like it would be like a one-page comic book story with several panels in it. And they used the real characters. So like in the DC books, it would be DC heroes and villains. And the Marvel books would have the Marvel characters and so on. But the story would always somehow involve Hostess products.
Well, whenever I bust up a crime ring, I absolutely tuck into a fruit pie afterward. So
yeah, it'd be like this bank robber that they're about to get away with all the money. But wait a minute, what if we just throw a bunch of Twinkies at them? Now they're going to stop because they love Twinkies so much. That was the general plot of almost every episode.
More world crime needs to be solved with Twinkies.
And on the DC side, it was the multiverse, you know, there was Earth 1 and Earth 2, and there's all these parallel dimensions in DC Comics. And so some fans, I believe, have referred to this as Earth Hostess.
Earth Hostess.
As if there's a, there exists a universe within the DC multiverse where everybody is just obsessed with Hostess. So they're pretty amazing. And it was just fun when you're reading the stupid comics as a kid, and suddenly you're like, instead of a boring ad, it's like a bonus comic book story, but it's all about Hostess cupcakes.
And it would really make you hungry.
It was astonishing. And these ran for several years. I think according to a source that I looked up today, they ran from 1975 through 1981. And they made way more of them than I thought.
Oh?
I would have guessed that they made a few dozen of them, you know, uh-huh, at best. They made about 350.
Oh, that is a lot.
You know, different Hostess ads.
That is a whole lot.
And it wasn't just DC and Marvel. They did a lot of DC ones with Superman, Batman, Aquaman, Wonder Woman. They all did Hostess ads over at Marvel. You know, Captain America, Thor, the Hulk, everybody did Hostess ads. But some of the other companies as well. Like they did a bunch of Archie Hostess ads with the Archie characters and Josie and the Pussycats and Sabrina the Teenage Witch. They all did Hostess ads. Over at Harvey Comics, you had Casper the Ghost and Richie Rich and Sad Sack, you know, the goofy army dude.
Mm-hmm.
They did a bunch of Hostess ads, too. And then even Gold Key Comics, which published Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner and Tweety and Sylvester.
That's quite the range.
Anyway, we're doing dramatic readings of Hostess ads. It's called Hostess Fruit Pie Theater. There's at least a couple of these videos are online through the Dragon Con Sci-Fi Classics track YouTube channel. We will have links to these, needless to say. Anyway, I was thinking about the Hostess ads today. I thought I would surprise you with a surprise top 4.5 list.
Commencing countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1.
What? 1/2?
The top 4.5 list.
Wow, that is a treat, a surprise top 4.5 list.
Yeah, it's a surprise because I just thought of it like right before we got on the call to record the show. And again, I'm working from a list of about 350 of these Hostess ads, and I put about 4.5 minutes of work into selecting my top 4.5 list of Hostess comic book ads. So this is by no means a definitive list because I didn't carefully peruse all 350 episodes, you know.
I can forgive you.
This is at a quick glance. These are my top 4.5. Because you're not here in Chickentown Studios with me, I Turksted a file over to you moments ago. Do you have the files that I sent over?
I do, and I have them all loaded up and ready to look at.
So this is simple enough. I just sent you 4.5 of the Hostess ads, my top 4.5, and we'll take a look at them now. So if you want to go ahead and pull up number 4, I did one ad per publisher of the 4.5.
Oh, okay.
If you will, major publishers. So for instance, number 4, you can see, is Marvel. There's Spider-Man.
Off to a strong start here with Spider-Man.
Starting with Spider-Man at number 4. This is from 1981, so towards the end of this bizarre run of Hostess ads. I picked Spider-Man versus the Human Computer. And I picked this one just because as soon as I looked at it, I saw that it's set at an arcade.
Very cool. Oh, yeah, I see them playing foosball.
Yeah, there's foosball and there's pinball. So again, this is 81, so I'm surprised there aren't video games in the picture. like 81, you're certainly in the video game era. In any event, Spider-Man is searching for a evil genius with an electronic brain, tracks him down at the arcade, and there's this giant, like, computer robot-looking green dude with a ray gun. Which somehow, in panel 3, Spider-Man announces some Hostess cupcakes and milk might do the trick. And you can see he's just shoving a giant pile of cupcakes at the computer robot dude. I don't understand where the cupcakes come from.
Neither.
Spider-Man is just swinging on his web, you know, to the arcade. He shows up, and then out of nowhere, we just see Spider-Man throwing a giant pile of cupcakes at the robot guy.
And if he has the magic ability to make piles and piles of Hostess cupcakes appear, I don't understand why he's bothering with webs. He should just make cupcakes appear everywhere.
Yeah, especially here on Earth Hostess. Why would he ever bother doing anything except magically conjuring Hostess cupcakes?
And milk. That is such a nice touch.
And a glass of milk. Yes, to go with it. Then we see the robot dude is holding a cupcake and the glass of milk. I'm programmed to love this chocolatey cake. My circuits light up for that fudgy icing.
Me too, Mr. Robot. Me too.
Now then, of course, it turns out he's not a robot dude at all, because Spider-Man rips his helmet off with a web, and there's just a regular guy hiding underneath there. But as you can see, the guy isn't even upset that he's been captured by Spider-Man. He's just happy because he has a cupcake. And that's the general theme of all these ads. Everybody's happy no matter what happens because they have Hostess.
Telling you, they've got ways to solve crime here that would make the world a better place.
Absolutely. And then at the it always ends with that tagline, you get a big delight in every bite of Hostess cupcakes. Hostess cupcakes, that was my favorite as a kid of the Hostess products, I think. I would always go for the Hostess cupcake over the Twinkie or the fruit pie.
I would agree, Kevin. The Hostess cupcakes were the superior product.
The cupcake has four elements to it, you know, as opposed to the Twinkie, just two.
Right.
So I like the variety of how much was going on the cupcake.
Oh, man. I was just like, those are the chocolate ones. I'll take those.
You were just going for the chocolate. No, I was counting, you know, how many components does each thing have? There's number four. And again, as soon as I saw the arcade, that was the one that I picked. So that was my Marvel selection, Spider-Man versus the Human Computer. If you want to move on to number three.
You can do that.
And number three, we're going to Gold Key Comics, which were publishers of, they published like the Disney comics back then and the Warner cartoons like this, of course. All the Bugs Bunny type characters from Looney Tunes.
Ooh.
Here we have, I picked this one because of the local angle. You know, here in the Boston area.
Oh.
As you can see, I went with the Roadrunner in Paul Revere's run. This was obviously from 1976. And you can see there's a whole bunch of Roadrunners. It's not just your classic one Roadrunner from the cartoons. There's like four of them here. One of them is announcing, reading, the Bicentennial Committee has chosen you to redo Paul Revere's run. And you can see they all put on the little hats.
Yeah, the colonial hats.
The tri-corner hat. I love that. And off they go. And we're not going to read this whole thing out loud, of course. But if you do read it, you'll see it actually the whole thing is in rhyme, like that Paul Revere's Ride poem. See that?
Oh, wow. I'm just noticing that.
Somebody really put some work into writing this one. And as you can see, there's the coyote. And the whole thing is a trick. The coyote wrote these instructions to reenact Paul Revere's run, just to capture the stupid roadrunners, you know. They reach a fork in the road, and the lanterns are hanging. The two lanterns are hanging off to one side, and that's the way the coyote wants them to go. However, there's a Hostess Twinkies stand.
I've seen.
Off in the other direction. And, of course, the roadrunners, you know, they want their Twinkies.
Yep.
So they go that way. And so the coyote has been foiled by the roadrunners' love of Hostess Twinkies.
I figured that's what made them go so fast. They are definitely Twinkie-powered. It's kind of weird to see more than one Roadrunner, though.
It's really weird, yeah. I don't know if I've ever read a Roadrunner comic book story other than this, so I don't know if that was just a regular thing, that there was a whole gang of them or what. It's weird to see them all talking, too. You know, that's all dialogue.
Right.
The coyote speaks, and all four Roadrunners speak throughout this thing.
Only so many things rhyme with meep meep.
That's true, yeah. They would have been much more limited in the poetry of this ad.
What rhymes with meep?
Good point. Let's move on, Cornflake, if you want to pull up number two. Oh, now I'm going to Archie, the Archie comics. They did a bunch of Hostess ads with the Archie characters, and most of these I'd never seen before because I did not buy a lot of Archie comics back in the day. And again, there are Archie Hostess ads. There are Sabrina the Teenage Witch Hostess ads. I went with Josie and the Pussycats.
So I'm checking this out, and I see that, well, this is a topic near and dear to your heart, Kevin. It looks like they're running.
Yeah, that's true. I go out and run like an idiot these days, and that's what all the kids in this ad are doing.
I can see why this one made the list.
This is Josie and the Pussycats in Getting Noticed. And yeah, they're off on a 10-mile run. And right in the front, you have Josie and Valerie from the band. And I guess that's Melody, the light-haired girl behind them. They were hoping that by going on this 10-mile run, they would get the attention of a dude. They're exhausted. They flop over.
Yeah, that never works. Except I guess it works in this comic. But I used to try that. It did not work.
You try to run, hope the guys would notice.
Yes.
Yeah, the running part didn't work. But then they flop over, and Josie, meanwhile, is packing. She's got a backpack full of Hostess fruit pies. So they break out their fruit pies. Valerie is so wiped out that she says, I can't even get this Hostess fruit pie up to my mouth. Josie's all proud of herself, saying, only smart move I made was to pack Hostess fruit pies with their light, tender crust.
Yeah, because when you're pulling out a Hostess fruit pie, that's how you're describing it.
That's when I go out on my runs. I ran this morning. I didn't do 10 miles this morning. I did a 10K, but I did the same thing as Josie did. I filled a backpack with Hostess fruit pies, and it really, that's the way to go.
And did you have the chance to tell anyone that they have a light, tender crust and real fruit filling?
I was just screaming that at everybody that I passed. Yeah. I've been asked not to return to my trail. Meanwhile, Josie and Valerie, they're sitting there with their fruit pies, and that got the attention of all the dudes. Guys running by saying, did I hear someone say Hostess fruit pies?
Look at all those guys coming out of the corner of the panel all of a sudden.
So, you know, who needs running?
Right, they could have just sat under a tree with a backpack full of fruit pies and...
Yeah, it was a good lesson for the children of 1980.
Don't run.
Cut out the exercise.
Just sit there and eat fruit pies.
Just sit there with those fruit pies. Let's move on to number one. Here's a weird one now from Harvey Comics. And Harvey, of course, publishers of all the Casper the Ghost comics. And so there were Casper Hostess ads and Hot Stuff, you know, the little devil and Wendy the witch. They all did Hostess ads. I went here with Richie Rich.
I see more robots.
Exactly. That's why I went with this one, of course, is, you know, I cannot resist a good robot. And this is Richie Rich meets two smart robots.
I see.
So here's Richie with his genius professor buddy. And meet my latest robots, Appletron and Cherrytron.
Appletron and Cherrytron.
This is 1979, so I think these were very clearly R2-D2-inspired little robots, you know?
Agreed. But they don't roll, they run.
Yeah, they take off running, like Josie and Valerie. They've been programmed to find the most delicious apples and cherries. Huh, I wonder how this is going to turn out. And they're just running, they're running right past an apple tree. They ran right into a building and came out with armloads of Hostess fruit pies.
But I think it's at that point that they realize that they are robots and they cannot eat them.
That's true. They're just staring at them. I guess they did their job, right? They were programmed to find the most delicious apples and cherries. The professor did not program them to eat anything. Because you can see all four of them, Richie, the professor, and Appletron and Cherrytron, they're each holding a fruit pie in the final panel. Richie and the professor, there's a big bite taken out of theirs. The robots are just staring down at their whole fruit pies, sadly.
And this is how the robot uprising began.
This is how it all began. The robots turned against us. We were having a lot of fun with these fruit pie ads, and now it's just sad. I'm heartbroken.
This has turned very dark.
Do you think they just started rocking back and forth and just blew up like R5-D4?
I can't imagine it happening any other way now that you say it.
They're just collected by the Jawas for scrap parts.
Oh.
That's got to be how this thing ended. Well, there's Richie Rich with two smart yet very sad malnourished robots. Well, that's number one. Now, Cornflake, for a top of my surprise top 4.5 list of Hostess ads. Of course, you know, I was a DC kid. I had to go DC. I went with Aquaman.
Yeah, you did.
Aquaman did a few of these. I mean, so many DC characters did Hostess ads, Cornflake. Obviously, the big ones. There are a bunch of Superman ones and Wonder Woman, Flash, but they went pretty deep. You know, Red Tornado, Plastic Man. Some of them just were just the villains, like the Joker and the Penguin. They each did their own Hostess ads without the superheroes.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, they did a bunch of fun DC ones. But here we have Aquaman in Mira. That's Aquaman's wife, Mira, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mira meets the Manta Men.
How very nicely alliterated.
This is cool. There's a lot going on in this because it's Aquaman, theoretically. So there's a big Aquaman logo.
Mm-hmm.
But Aquaman is not in this.
Nope.
That is his teen sidekick, Aqualad, is riding along with Mira.
No Hostess for Aquaman.
It's very strange.
Black Manta's there.
Actually, no, he's not. I don't even see Black Manta in this. Those are like his minions.
Oh, those are his henchmen.
Yeah, those are the Manta Men.
Henchmentas.
They refer to Black Manta because there's a bunch of sharks swimming towards the beach. And along come Mira and Aqualad. This is so weird. Why is it just Mira and Aqualad from the Teen Titans? Anyway, they're concerned because all these sharks are swimming towards the beach. Then they realize it's the Manta Men are driving the sharks towards the beach. And this is part of Black Manta's evil plan. Now, weird thing about the Manta Men is the Manta Men were in the Aquaman cartoons from Filmation back in the 1960s, but they looked completely different in that cartoon. You can see these guys in the Hostess ads, they look like regular guys who have been equipped with some kind of Manta
costumes.
Yeah, but they look like guys.
Yep.
In the animated cartoons from the 60s, the Manta Men were like creatures. They were like these Manta human hybrid creatures. They were really creepy and weird. They never explained where they came from.
Huh.
So anyway, totally different Manta Men that we have here. They're chasing the sharks towards the beach. Now, Mira, her superpower was hard water, they called it. Like, she could make things form out of the water, and she could, like, attack people with stuff just that she would conjure just out of the water. The strange thing in this image is, so she makes a hand.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it says Mira makes a huge hard water hand, and this giant human hand forms in the water. The strange thing is that in the regular comics, her water creations would just be watercolored. They'd be blue, just like all the water around her.
Right. It looks like it's made out of water.
This is like a Caucasian flesh-colored hand that she somehow formed out of the water. So that's weird.
That's bizarre.
I guess this is because maybe whoever was coloring these ads was not the same guy that colored the regular comics, and he didn't realize it was supposed to just be watercolored.
Mm-hmm.
Just the speculation on my part. Well, anyway, it gets even weirder. Suddenly, fruit pies, Hostess fruit pies, come shooting out of the hand towards the Manta Men. And then, of course, the Manta Men are thrilled. Oh, Hostess fruit pies, great. And then they're all just chomping on fruit pies. They don't care about the sharks anymore. They're just going to hang out like Josie and the Pussycats, chomping on fruit pies.
Wow.
But my question, Cornflake, is where'd the fruit pies come from? She formed a hand, but can Mira form Hostess fruit pies out of water?
I'm going to say yes.
She has the same power that Spider-Man had. She can conjure Hostess products magically. This is one of the weirdest of all the Hostess ads, I think, in that it's an Aquaman ad, theoretically, but Aquaman's not in it. Black Manta's not in it. It's just Mira and Aqualad and the Manta Men. And also, Aqualad doesn't even do anything.
He just kind of hangs out.
There should be a giant Mira logo at the top of this, not Aquaman, because Mira does all the work. She makes the giant hand and the fruit pies.
Hard water fruit pies.
Then there's some very strange dialogue from the Manta Men at the very end as they're happily chomping their fruit pies.
Yeah.
What's that about? What?
I'm convinced fingers and hands were meant for good things. I feel dirty saying that.
Yeah, man. When you read it like that.
So were mouths. Oh, what?
The Manta Men. Getting a little suggestive at the end of this thing.
Well, they sure do look happy.
All right, we can see why this is our favorite. This was the top of my list, was Mira Meets the Manta Men.
I am so disturbed.
This was very disturbing and weird, as are all 350 Hostess comic book ads.
Well, I get a big delight out of every bite of this, Kevin, so thank
yes,
you.
Yes. Well, now we're bringing these ads to life for you, Cornflake, over on the DragonCon American Sci-Fi Classics track.
Hostess Fruit Pie Theater.
It's Hostess Fruit Pie Theater. It's so stupid. It's just fantastic.
Oh, that is delightful.
Yeah, it's a big delight. That's my hostess list for you.
Thank you.
Surprise. I know we've talked about Hostess on the show before, and I looked it up because I had this dim memory of discussing Hostess a long time ago, and this goes all the way back to year one of the Flopcast. And I believe I told my Hostess story on that show, but again, it was 8 years ago, so I'll go ahead and tell it again really quick.
Okay.
Back in junior high, back in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, I was such a weird little geek that one of the things I did at that school was for one class period a day, I would just assist the vice principal.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of going to a class, I would just go to the vice principal's office, me and my other goofy friend, Bill.
Just to help?
Yeah, just whatever needed to be done around the school. And it was fun. And we had a great time. It was just goofy. And we just had the run of the school. You know, we could just wander around, do what we wanted, go where we wanted. That's the kind of kid I was. That was my idea of a good time at school, was go go help the vice principal. Let's live in, you know? Now, one of the duties of the vice principal assistants was answer the door, because the administrative offices were like way up in the middle of the school on the second floor,
mm-hmm.
very far away from the door to the school. It was a very strange old school. So the door was just locked to keep, you know, strays and ne'er-do-wells from sneaking into the school, you know?
Yeah.
So if somebody came to the door, they'd have to ring a bell. And then one of us, either me or my buddy Bill, would have to go running down the stairs, see who's at the door. So one day, doorbell rings, ran downstairs, opened the door, and this old delivery dude was at the door. And all he says is, "Why don't you go ahead inside the back of the truck and just pick out whatever you want?"
That's it?
That's what he said to me. I looked back behind the guy, and there was a big Hostess delivery truck parked outside the school.
Oh, that man loved his job.
Because one of the things that happened at the school was they sold, like, horrifying snack cakes to the children, you know?
Like you do, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, here's the school's Hostess delivery had arrived. The guy's coming in just to go up to the vice principal's office or whatever, and with his clipboard and sign the paperwork or whatever. He goes past me up into the school, and I have my instructions. He told me, "You just go into the truck and just pick something out for yourself." These were simpler times, Cornflake.
Yes.
Where a strange old man could direct you to walk up into the back of a truck, and I just went and did it.
Yep.
So I just walked out of the school. I'm all alone, and I walked inside the back of a Hostess delivery truck, and then I'm just surrounded by everything from Hostess.
Wow. Like some kind of weird fever dream.
This was this bizarre wonderland that I'd somehow stumbled into, and I looked around and said, "Look at this." And of course, as we've established, I was a cupcake guy, you know?
Right.
I wasn't going to take advantage of this old delivery dude's generosity. I only took one little, you know, two-pack of Hostess cupcakes. And, you know, went running back inside. That was probably the most important day of my junior high education.
My goodness.
It was a lesson in trust,
mm-hmm.
and snack cakes.
You're lucky you made it out of that truck alive. Maybe I grew up in a slightly less simple time than you, Kevin.
You know, it sounds so creepy when you say it. Oh, yeah, the old guy sent me into the back of the truck, and so I went.
And said, "Take whatever you want."
You hear the beginning of that story, and you think that's going to end with there's another guy in the truck with a roll of duct tape, you know?
Yeah.
The Manta Men were waiting for me inside the truck. That's what should have happened. Look at this nice old man making children happy, you know?
That's really cool.
I assume he's in prison today.
Yeah, more likely than not.
But back then, those were simpler times, and I got my cupcakes. All right, Cornflake. Moving off the comic book ads and onto the TV ads, because the Hostess ads on TV, it'd be Twinkie the Kid, you know?
Wearing cowboy boots.
Which was a Twinkie that was a cowboy. Yeah. You had Twinkie the Kid, You had Captain Cupcake, which was like a sea captain out at sea, but he was also a giant cupcake. And then you had Fruit Pie the Magician, which was a fruit pie wearing a top hat and a cape, who, not unlike Mira, could magically conjure Hostess fruit pies. So those were your Hostess characters in all the old animated Hostess ads back then. Twinkie the Kid, Captain Cupcake, Fruit Pie Magician.
Okay.
How about a quick round of Trapped in the House? This is Cornflake. For the pandemic lockdown, you're trapped in your house with Twinkie the Kid, Captain Cupcake, or the Fruit Pie Magician.
I would wonder if Captain Cupcake was ever going to get his land legs. He's probably staggering all over the place after being out at sea.
Yeah. And man, when Captain Cupcake topples over, that's going to be ugly. The cream filling goes splattering everywhere.
Stain the rug. Yeah. As much as you would have maybe thought that the cupcake would have been my favorite, in this case, it would be a huge mistake.
Yeah. You want to eat a cupcake. You don't want to live with a giant, sentient, tipsy old sea captain of a cupcake.
Do you think I could get Twinkie the Kid to take off his cowboy boots when he comes in the house?
I don't think so, because that's his thing. What is Twinkie the Kid without his cowboy suit?
Immobile?
Yeah.
Probably.
Just a giant Twinkie at that point.
Oh, man. So that, at least for the moment, puts Fruit Pie Magician up to the top of the list. You know what? No, I have no objections. It's going to be Fruit Pie the Magician or Fruit Pie Magician.
I think you are absolutely correct. I would also go with, I think it is Fruit Pie the Magician, strangely.
It is Fruit Pie the Magician. Okay.
Yeah. I want to say the Fruit Pie Magician, but I think technically it's Fruit Pie the Magician. Like his name is Fruit Pie.
That would be endlessly entertaining to just have fruit pies just materializing.
It's not going to be as messy as Captain Cupcake being around, because Captain Cupcake, we've established, is just going to flop over and die and ooze cream filling all over your house. That's just going to be an ugly mess. Twinkie the Kid is just going to be stomping around, swinging the lasso around, screaming about Twinkies. You don't want a cowboy in your house. Fruit Pie the Magician, he just makes fruit pies appear.
And if that causes Appletron and Cherrytron to show up?
Yes.
I would call that a bonus.
This is a way to attract more robots to your house.
Yes.
Fruit Pie the Magician would just make fruit pies magically appear. So now you just have an endless supply of free fruit pies right there in your house for the pandemic.
Don't even have to go to the store.
You just flop over like Josie and Valerie and just chomp on fruit pies all day.
And hopefully not attract the boys.
Or the robots. Everybody's attracted to fruit pies. I'm in complete agreement with you. This was an easy round of Trapped in the House. We're going Fruit Pie the Magician.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad it was an easy one. I'm halfway through this bottle of Lobster Rosé now, and I don't know how I would have done with a trickier question.
Wait, have you actually had half a bottle of wine while we've been recording this show?
Yeah, I'm handling pretty well, wouldn't you say?
Okay, in that case, if you're still capable of doing so, Cornflake, how about getting us out of here?
I can do that. Flopcast.net is our website. You can go to facebook.com/flopcast as well and hang with us on the Book of Faces. We have a Twitter handle. It's @flopcast. We're on Instagram, the_flopcast. And where you download this podcast, Apple Podcasts, go on over, leave us a rating, leave us a review. We would be so grateful. And music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
I think Sponge Awareness Foundation is going to switch over to all ukulele going forward. We're going to mix things up, you know?
That is a wise choice.
Our very next project shall be all ukulele. That should happen sometime in the next 17 to 21 years. Look forward to that. Meanwhile, everybody, please be safe. Be kind. Be angry. Get ready to get out and vote. We're thinking of you. Take care of each other. Have a fruit pie. See you next week.
Peace and cookies.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
And we're here on the station surviving the coronavirus. Since you guys are probably quarantined there down on Earth, I'll let you know we got DC news, comics, television shows we're going to be talking about every week. Come join us every week on the Earth Station DCU podcast here on the ESO Network.
And of course, this is the Secret After Show. Hello there.
And it is booze fueled.
I completely forgot. Once we got into all that hot hostess talk, I forgot that you were packing a lobster wine bottle over there. I had no idea. You've just been sipping from your lobster wine through the whole show.
It's really, really good.
Can you really taste the lobster in it?
Totally. It's yes. Like, it's all claws.
Did you dip the wine glass into drawn butter?
Mmm, next time. I'm just drinking straight from the bottle this time, Kevin.
Are you wearing one of those bibs?
You laugh. I have a collection of those.
But you do that anyway, no matter what kind of wine you're drinking, right?
Right.
It's always a good move.
Always with the lobster bib. Yeah. Always.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping at the T Public store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.